Now I'm going to move on. But if there are men here today that are resenting what I'm preaching, you need to take that to prayer. If you got reasons and excuses for why you don't have to be the spiritual authority and model biblical things to your family, and you have contrary thought process to those things, I would highly encourage you to take that to prayer, because that's not right. We are to be the spiritual authorities in our house. And that's not just something we are to say we are. That is to be something that we actually do. Well, I'm the spiritual authority of the house, so you got to do what I tell you to do. No, why don't you act like the spiritual authority, and they'll have no problem following you. If you got to tell people you're the spiritual authority, you're probably not the spiritual authority. If I had to go around to everybody, you got to do it, I'm the pastor. If I got to go around to everybody reminding you that I'm the pastor, I'm probably not the pastor. So we just, as men, we just need to be who God called us to be, and then everything else will fall in alignment. Oh, hallelujah. Man, look, am I okay? All right, Sister Vivian says I'm okay. Men, here's the issue. Now, I told you I was going to move on, but I'm going back now. I'm just a little curious why I feel what I feel. So we'll keep poking at it. See, here's the issue that I've seen many times is husbands are so frustrated that their wife is out of line and out of order biblically, or their children are out of line and out of order biblically, and they get so frustrated and they get so upset. The problem is that it all flows down. The order of authority in a family unit: God, husband, wife, children. Now, women, don't leave here saying that, you know, we've been regulated to a doormat and don't. No, that's not what we believe at all. We understand they're a helpmeet. We understand the power that rests in the woman, and that the wife plays a role that nobody else can play. And we thank God for that. But we also understand that this wasn't the way I set it up, it's the way God set it up. It is to be God and the husband and the wife and the children. And when everybody is under alignment to their proper authority, everything works out the way God says it will work out. The problem is, what happens is the man gets out of alignment with the word of God, the things of God, which throws everything else out of alignment. And then the husband gets mad at the wife, and the husband gets mad at the kids because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Now, I feel like I got to qualify everything just so you're not confused. I'm not saying that a husband can be in alignment and the wife can still do dumb things, or the kids can still do dumb things. They can. But what I'm saying is, a lot of the time, it's because the husband has got himself out of alignment with God, the word of God. I would even go so far as to say maybe even the man of God. When you're unsubmitted to those things, then why would you question why your wife is unsubmitted to you? Or your children are unsubmitted to you and your wife? And I just don't know why my kids are doing it. I just don't know why my wife is doing it. Why can't she just get her act together? Well, maybe before you want her to change, why don't you look at your own life? Am I being the spiritual authority that I'm supposed to be? Am I being the man of God that I'm supposed to be? Am I submitted to God? Am I submitted to his word? Am I submitted to spiritual authority? Am I doing those things? Because what you'll probably find is that when you get aligned the way you are, all of a sudden these other things will just start lining up underneath. That might not happen the next day, but God has a way of working all of those things out. And he will honor you fulfilling the role he called you to do by talking to your wife and your children, working on their lives in order to bring them into alignment. Somebody said amen. All right, now we move on. Back to our text. We find, I don't know when I started, so I'm not going to be concerned. Everybody good? I'm hurrying. Here we find the Lord has so graciously provided this manna from heaven. And the men were to pick it up in the morning and before the sun rose hot and introduce it, give it to their family. And the Bible goes on to say this, Exodus 16 and 17. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more. Some of them gathered less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. This is simply telling us that as God had commanded them, the people simply gathered that which was necessary. Now get this. They simply gathered that which was necessary for today. Now God, I pray a spirit of revelation in the house. And I believe God's going to talk to some people. And this might be a little different than what you thought coming into the house of the Lord today. But this is what God wants to speak to somebody. They gathered what was necessary for today. But not all of them did. Verse 19, the next verse. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. So most everybody just gathered what they needed for the day. And then Moses specifically tells them, make sure you only gather what is necessary for you and your family to eat today. Don't gather more than what you need for today. Don't take so much today because you desire to have enough to eat tomorrow. Exodus 16 and 20. Notwithstanding, even though God told them, even though Moses told them, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them, not all of them, but some of them left of it until the morning. They got so much that they ate all day long on it. It was sufficient for them, but they wanted more for the next morning. And because of that, when they got up the next morning, the Bible says in that manna, that heavenly bread, there were worms in it, and it stank. And Moses was mad at them. So it is that the Lord, stay with me, the Lord tells them, don't take more than what you need for today. Moses tells them, don't take more than what you need for today. And yet some decided to take enough for that day and then a little more for the next day. The question you have to ask yourself is, why? Why did they take more after God told them and Moses told them? Why? Exodus 16 and 4. Go back. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. I want you to notice now, the law or the word of the Lord had promised to them that he would provide for them every single day what was necessary for that particular day. He would give them what they needed for that particular day. And yet, Pastor Elijah, he gave them the opportunity to get more. Simply to prove whether or not they were willing to walk in faith on God's word. For the only reason, hear me now, the only reason why someone would have gathered more than what was necessary for that particular day was because they did not trust that God was going to do it again the next day. This is how he proved them. He said, I want to prove something to you. Now here's what you got to understand. The proving was not meant for God. God knows that the heart. God already knew. The proving was to prove to them. Are you going to walk according to my law, or are you not going to trust me? I'm going to give you the opportunity to do both. And whatever you do is going to prove to you where your heart is, where your faith is, where your trust is. Come on, Jesus. Now please, somebody listen to me right now. Will you trust me, God says, that I can take care of your tomorrows? Or are you going to hoard up everything that's previously been given to you out of fear and out of worry that I'm not going to come through for you today? What are we going to do with the blessings and the miraculous provision that God has given to us? Do we hoard it up, become selfish, stingy with all of our blessings simply because we don't trust that the same God who blessed us in our todays is going to have the ability to bless us in our tomorrows? Now, I'm helping somebody right now. Or have we become so content in knowing that because God has came through for us in our todays, then I can have a peace that he's going to come through for me in my tomorrows. Come on. And maybe we don't have all kinds of money or possessions stashed away because we lack the trust in God's ability to take care of us. And yet it is possible, hear me in the Holy Ghost, it is possible that we have a mindset. We don't have $500,000 in the bank, but we have a mindset that always is fearing, always stressing about the needs that will present themselves to us in our tomorrows. Even though God has always come through for us in our todays. We need to understand, dear brothers and sisters, this is a testing, proving ground. This is a place where God proves in us whether we trust him or not. Don't you know that he knows what our needs look like tomorrow far better than what we know? But he desires to know, will you trust me? Will you be confident in me? That I'll take care of your tomorrows, just like I've taken care of your todays. Now, just think this through. God set it up, Brother Tab. God set it up for them every single night to go to bed completely full, but with no food at all in the house. Every night, Sister Fable, they had to go to bed, not hungry. They went to bed completely full. No babies crying, nobody's crying for pain in their belly, hunger, pain. No, completely full. But they all went to bed, moms and dads went to bed. We have no food at all in the house. We got 5 kids and no food in the house. That's the way God set it up. Come on. Think about it. So why did he set it up that way? He set it up that way to prove, what are you thinking about when your head's on the pillow? I'm gonna sleep great tonight. Why? I'm full. My babies are full. We had all the food we needed today, and he's going to do it again tomorrow. Good night, honey. Good night, sweetheart. And sleep a blessed sleep. Or we don't have any food in the house. We got 5 kids. What am I going to do? What are we going to do for breakfast tomorrow? What are we going to do when everybody wakes up? How am I going to provide for my children? What am I going to feed them? Tossing and turning. Out of fear and anxiety and stress because of tomorrow's problem. Come on, somebody, stay with me now. And this is a proving ground. This is a proving ground. Now listen, I'm not saying we're to go home and get rid of all your food. And just trust God. I'm not saying that. I do feel the Holy Ghost speaking to us about the fact that if we are not truly trusting him and truly trusting his word, that is when we allow stress and anxiety and extreme worry about the needs in a day that we haven't even got to yet. And it affects our outlook, and it affects our relationships, and it affects our mentality, and it affects our mental well-being. We've taught this before, but what you have to understand, a couple of things, is the only two things that have the ability to affect us on that level is God and money. There is nothing else in the world that has the ability to affect you on that level that it affects your relationships and your outlook and your mind and stress and anxiety and on and on and on. And you feel good if you got money, but you don't feel good if you don't have it. And all of those feelings are wrapped up. That's why the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon, because there's only two things that have the ability to affect us in that way. God and money. We've also taught that people are like, well, I don't worship money. And the reason they say they don't worship money is because they don't throw a $100 bill on the ground and bow down and clap to it and the way we view worship as unto the Lord. But worship to money is not going to look like the way worship to our God, the one true God, is. Could it be that worry is the worship of money? And so when it comes to a life that is consumed by stress and worry over the need of finances for our future, that is a sign that the spirit of mammon is trying to be at work or is at work in your life. If your outlook, mindset, thought processes, relationships, interpersonal stuff, if it is all being dictated by the anxiety and the stress you have over finances for a day you haven't even got to yet, then that is a sure sign that the spirit of mammon is at work at some level of your life. Now listen, there's somebody in here saying, well, are you saying we shouldn't even think about tomorrow? We shouldn't plan, you know, don't even plan for retirement. I'm not saying those things. I'm talking about a fear. I'm talking about an ungodly stress, ungodly anxiety over the problems of your tomorrow, specifically as it applies to finances. God wants us to trust him. And if you feel like this is something that you're struggling with, it's very possible. Hear me, please. It's very possible that like the Israelites in our story, the Lord puts you in that position. Could it be that the reason why, Jesus, help us right now. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost. Could it be that the reason why things are breaking, could it be why the things aren't things have to be fixed and money has to be put out next week and next month and whatever. Could it be the reason all of those things are happening is because God has ordained for them to happen in order to prove something that is in you that you didn't know was in you unless those things happened? Come on, somebody. That you would have never known that that spirit of mammon was at work unless all this stuff started happening in your life. And now every day you go to sleep, you can't even sleep because you have so much anxiety, stress about next week and next month and next year. And what are we going to do for this? And what are we going to do for that? And how are we going to pay this? And then God says, did I take care of you today? But for some of us, it's not enough that God, come on, Jesus. It's not enough that he took care of us today. Because that spirit of mammon is so strong in our lives that we have so much anxiety over weeks and months to come. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's a proving ground. It's a testing. Because if there wasn't anything you needed finances for, you would have never known that the spirit of mammon was at work. So he's got to allow some stuff. Let me shut this down. Let me this. But my friend, what I want you to understand, now listen, things are always going to break. Okay, I'm not saying because something broke in your house that it was God and you got the spirit of mammon. Everything's going to break at some point. But I feel like somebody, God's talking to somebody specifically today and trying to give you an understanding. And what I want you to know and what I want you to understand is this, that the moment you get this revelation and the moment you get it under the blood and the moment you begin to repent for it and you begin to take upon yourself the mind of Christ and you begin to take confidence in the fact that God took me care of me today, everybody's fine today, I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like, but I'm not in my tomorrows yet, so I'm just going to trust God in my today, and then when tomorrow gets here, I'm going to trust God in my tomorrow when it happens. When you get to that place, then he can remove the test because you've passed. He doesn't have to keep testing you on something when you've already passed the test. The only reason the test has to remain is because you've yet to pass it. Jesus, help us right now. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's why the book says this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, I looked into that because somebody's going to be like, what do you mean you're not supposed to put any thought to your life? That word thought, it means to have high anxiety or undue stress. Don't have high anxiety or undue stress about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to drink, nor for what your body, what you shall put on. It's just talking about the normal things of life, the things that just arise because of your family and your home and on and on and on. Don't be stressed about all that stuff. Don't have anxiety about all of that stuff. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, he says, the fowls of the air, the birds don't grow crops. Birds don't go to a job. I'm not saying you shouldn't grow crops or go to a job, but you know what I'm saying. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are you not much better than the birds? If God's going to take care of a little bird that doesn't even have a soul and there's no relationship with that, don't you think he's going to take care of you? So why do you have such high anxiety and stress about the everyday normal things? Don't allow the needs of your tomorrows to cause you to have anxiety and severe stress and fear about whether or not you're going to have what you need when you need it. The book is very plainly telling us that we live our lives in this manner, then it is the spirit of mammon that is at work in our life, and it is not the will of God. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Ready? Watch this. 23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When? Every morning. I want you to notice the new and necessary mercies and the new and necessary faithfulness of God are revealed to us in the morning or in the dawning of the day. The faithfulness of God necessary for that day is shown to us on that day. It is not shown to us previously. The reason why we have stress and anxiety and fear about our tomorrows, hear me, is because we are operating in a place where the mercy and faithfulness of God has not been revealed to us yet. He said, you want to know about my faithfulness for your today? I'll show it to you today. So when the day comes, and whatever we have to meet in that day, financially, relationally, whatever, the Lord will show us, I am faithful in all of those things. You want to know where the stress and the anxiety comes in? Is when we move from our todays where he has proven his faithfulness and we start living in our tomorrows. Well, what are we going to do about that? And what are we going to do about this? And how's this going to work out? We get so stressed out and have so much anxiety because we are living in a dimension where the faithfulness of God has yet to be revealed to us. Because it's not his will that we dwell there. We are to dwell where his faithfulness has been revealed to us. Is he taking care of you today? Yes. So just stay in your today. Thank God for his faithfulness today. Rejoice in his mercy today. Rejoice in his provision today. Praise him that he made a way where there seemed to be no way today. Do you still have things tomorrow? I got things tomorrow. Do we got bills coming up? We got bills coming up. Do we got things coming up? Yeah, we got them. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay where his faithfulness has already been revealed. So like the people in the Israelites, when I lay my head to sleep tonight, do I got stuff tomorrow? Yeah. Do I got stuff next week? Yeah. Stuff broke down, I got to fix? Yeah. But guess what? I'm going to sleep awesome tonight. But why can you sleep? Why aren't you stressed? Why don't you have high anxiety about all the stuff for tomorrow? I'll tell you why. Because he took care of me today. Come on. I went out of my tent today. I gathered up everything I needed for me and my family. I went back. We had breakfast. We had lunch. We had dinner. We had everything we needed. But Is your cupboards full? No, they're empty. But guess what? I'm just going to believe that what he did for me today, he's going to do for me tomorrow. I'm not going to live in my tomorrow. I'm not going to live in the stress and the anxiety of my tomorrow. I'm going to live in the revelation of his faithfulness today. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And I close with this. I close with this. Jesus, help me right now. The Bible says that, as I already told you, that if they were to take more of God's provision and hoard it into their own home, the next day it would be full of worms. It would stink. It would be without purpose. But Pastor Mitch, there's a story in the Bible where God tells the priest, he said, I want you to take manna, and I want you to put it in the ark. And that manna was there for hundreds of years. And what is said historically, and biblical scholars tell us that when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant after hundreds and hundreds of years, when they opened it up, the manna that was there had value to them. So much so that they removed it from the ark. Let me tell you something. Now, by that point, that stuff would have been gone. Worms would have eaten it, right? If it was in the home. We're talking about several hundreds of years. But when the enemy opens it up and sees it, that manna still had value. So much so that they wanted it and therefore took it. Here's my point. If you want what you have to have ongoing, eternal value, then invest what you have into kingdom things. Because when you hoard it all to self in one day, worms, it stinks, nothing. But if you invest it into kingdom things, it has ongoing value long after you're gone. Jesus, help us. See, this is why we can't be so stressed and have such anxiety about this stuff, and why we cannot be controlled by the spirit of mammon, because the Lord wants us to understand this is a proving ground. It is proving for you, but it is also important for the kingdom. Let's lift your hands, would you?